NPR.
As reporters, we often get sent to conferences, and it can sometimes be a challenge to make that exciting. Would you agree with that, Lisa?
I can confirm, yes.
Lisa Hagen, you're joining us from NPR's Democracy team. You recently covered a conference in Las Vegas.
Yes. Hi, Darian. I got to say, I had kind of high hopes for the part of the conference where they premiered an anti-vaccine short film, Plandemic the Musical. What your religion is, masked up the children, shut
down your businesses, socially distancing, didn't stop any... Okay, Lin-Manuel Miranda meets Plandemic. It's sadly got my attention.
Yes. Unfortunately, the real meat of the gathering was less musical entertainment and more about how anti-vaccine propaganda may get funded in the future. The event was called Replatform the Freedom Economy, and it was about building a kind of parallel financial foundation for anti-vaccine activists, certain kinds of religious conservatives, and the far right. These are groups who believe they're under attack by massive financial and tech corporations.
You are with banks that hate you. They hate who you are, they hate what you stand for, and they show it by spending millions and millions and millions of dollars shutting you up.
Okay, well, at least on The Indicator, for the next 9 minutes, we're not going to shut up, we're going to talk. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Darian Woods, here with Lisa Hagen. Today on the show, the freedom economy. What is it exactly? How would it work? Is it already here? That's all coming up after the break.
This message comes from NPR sponsor E-Trade from Morgan Stanley. Take control of your financial future with E-Trade. No matter what kind of investor you are, their tools and resources can help you be ready for what's next. Now when you open an account, you can get up to $1,000 with a qualifying deposit. Terms apply. Learn more at etrade.com/NPR. Investing involves risks. Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC. Member SIPC. E-Trade is a business of Morgan Stanley.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Arctic Wolf. Their researchers have released the Arctic Wolf Lab's 2024 threat report. Why will 2024 be a volatile year for cybersecurity? Learn more and get your copy now at arcticwolf.com/NPR. This message comes from NPR sponsor Mint Mobile. For a limited time, new customer plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. Go to mintmobile.com/indicator. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
So Lisa, to start off with, what is a freedom economy?
There are kind of two answers. One is a market of small businesses that staunch conservatives or some kinds of conspiracy theorists feel like represent their values. This is a pretty old idea. There was a born-again Christian Yellow Pages in the 1970s, for instance. But more recently, what we've seen is that a lot of conservatives who used to be fairly pro-big business have gotten really upset with huge companies like Bud Light or Chase Bank that market themselves in ways they think supports the LGBTQ community. And that's an opportunity for businesses to frame themselves as anti-woke, let's say.
Okay, so that's the first definition. What's your second answer?
So another way to think about the freedom economy is more about the financial and tech underpinnings that businesses need to do business, like banks or payment processors like Square or Stripe, or hosting platforms that are dedicated to maintaining business with, say, a member of the Proud Boys or people who spread debunked theories about vaccines. Here's a little taste of that.
So we are here together because we are people who have either been canceled or we really understand what is going on in America today.
Leave Amazon, leave GoDaddy, leave all these woke corporations behind and start spending your money with organizations who have your best interest in mind.
Okay, so how often do banks or hosting services cancel people, at least in their words?
Super hard to say. Banks generally don't comment about why they close accounts, and there's also lots of mundane technical reasons people could be losing services that have nothing to do with politics. But it definitely makes you sound very victimized and dedicated to a cause if you claim that this has happened to you. On the other hand, a really notable example of why some accounts get dropped is usually after mass violence motivated by extremism. Like, if you run a social media platform that a mass shooter was really active on, big companies can and do drop you. And that's really what a freedom economy is meant to avoid.
Wasn't cryptocurrency supposed to be this big alternative financial solution?
Totally. But that dream has mostly passed, according to the experts I spoke with. It just hasn't panned out as a practical solution. It's not convenient, and it can be tracked pretty easily.
I mean, I guess that's what the blockchain is. It's tracking transactions.
Yeah. I talked to Megan Squire with the Southern Poverty Law Center. They monitor extremism. And she says she's watched some of these communities experimenting with building tech and financial infrastructure for years.
They'll talk about, yeah, we need this alt payment. Yeah, we need to make our own web hosting companies. We need to make our own social media. We need to make our own domain registrars. We need to make our own computers.
All right. Well, tell us about some of these experiments.
So at this conference I was reporting on, one of the big sponsors was Gab Pay. It's a payment processor, which is like the middleman between banks and businesses trying to sell things. Gab Pay is a third-party company that works with Gab, which is kind of a glitchy alternative to Twitter that popped up in 2016. Gab explicitly allows hate speech. It's in their terms of service.
Huh.
Yeah, and one of its most notorious former users is the man who shot and killed 11 people at a Pittsburgh synagogue in 2018. There are lots of other companies as well that let you subscribe to an extremist video streamer or encrypted chat companies that let you buy goods and services.
Is any of this actually working? Like, traditional big banks and tech companies are pretty convenient for the average small business owner.
I think it's too early to say, and I think it can be hard to trust the numbers that some of these kinds of companies release about how big or profitable they are. And I think you're right. It's hard to get people to move all their money in business unless they really, really have to.
And are there any standout successes?
One good example is Give, Send, Go. Their thing is being a Christian alternative to GoFundMe, the crowdfunding company. And one big problem with maintaining an alternative to a mainstream business is actually getting enough users. And they've really done that. They have a strong brand, not just with conservative Christians, but among anti-vaccine truckers, militias, the Proud Boys. And like a lot of these right-leaning companies, GiveSendGo basically says as long as you're not actively committing crimes or on a terrorist watch list, or like, you know, you support access to abortion or transgender healthcare, they'll work with you. They've said they'd do business with the Ku Klux Klan.
And this is a company that's doing well.
GiveSendGo has weathered financial companies closing their accounts. Millions of dollars have been raised on the platform, and they're still surviving. And they talk about having all these backup financial and tech underpinnings. Multiple payment systems, web hosting companies, etc. They've even talked about starting their own bank.
So I think most people hearing this are not going to be thrilled about the Klan having an easier time doing business. But we are in a country with very strong freedom of speech. What do you make of the argument, shouldn't everyone have the right to make money if they're not breaking the law?
I think it's a legitimate one to consider carefully. But a lot of the people making it tend to kind of ignore the fact that plenty of extremist groups and individuals do operate legally, until maybe one day they don't. And I do think this is a legitimately complicated issue, especially because who decides what's acceptable or extreme and what's not? Is that really something we want to leave to big businesses or governments?
So right now, who is deciding who it's okay to do business with?
It's kind of a patchwork. So we've already seen a few years ago with huge payment networks like MasterCard and Visa, they refused to keep working with some porn websites, which is a pretty high level of cultural authority for these financial giants.
What about governments limiting who people can financially support?
Yes, the U.S. has a terrorist watch list, but experts see a lot of gray area that doesn't cover. For instance, with folks associated with an event like January 6th or the Proud Boys. Those are perfectly legal causes to donate hundreds of thousands of dollars to. There are also legitimate reasons to be concerned about heavy-handed government intervention in these issues. One expert I spoke with said just look at Russia for an example of how this can go bad. Vladimir Putin has designated his political opponents as terrorists, and therefore anyone donating to them as financing terrorism. On the other hand, Canada decided to start regulating crowdfunding platforms after anti-vaccine trucker protests there. And democracy there doesn't seem to have collapsed. But there's not really an easy answer here.
Lisa Hagen, thank you very much for your report from the ground floor of the freedom economy.
Thanks for having me.
This episode was produced by Julia Ritchie with engineering by Neil Rout. It was fact-checked by Sierra Juarez. Kate Concannon edits the show, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.
On It's Been a Minute, we're keeping you in the know when it comes to culture. I break down the latest trends and the forces behind them and introduce you to the creatives who think deeply about how we live today. Come for some good old cultural analysis and have a few laughs with me. Listen to the It's Been a Minute podcast from NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Capella University. With Capella's FlexPath learning format, you can earn your degree online at your own pace and get support from people who care about your success. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Taylor Swift has dropped a new album. She is the biggest pop star in the world, and everything she does makes news.
I gasped. I was like, oh my God, I've been there, and you can identify with it.
For a breakdown of Taylor Swift and her new album, The Tortured Poets Department, listen to the Pop Culture Happy Hour podcast from NPR.